720 WGN, the stray cats. Yeah, whether you have a cat question, a dog question, a guinea pig question, this is the woman that can answer all of them. It is Dr. Dana Varbal. She's our favorite vet, Chicago's exotic pet vet, and does so much for the community of veterinarians and, of course, her patients. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lisa. You guys always give me the best walk-in music. I love it.
That's Brian. Brian is really good. He takes care of all the music on the afternoon show. Yeah, you get that in your head and you're like, okay, I think I need to listen to that this weekend.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Somebody asked why we have tick medications for dogs and not people, because obviously it is really bad for any being to get Lyme disease. Why is that?
You know, that's a great question. I would love it. We need to get an MD on the show sometime and do a little info swap. Because I tell you, I would like some.
I know.
Dogs are not particularly, you know, tick diseases are actually a really big concern for both human and dog health worldwide. It's kind of something that's threatening and changing, and you know, as environments warm up, we're seeing tick diseases expand and affect more people and more pets. You know, the interesting thing is that I definitely spray off my legs and arms when I go out into the woods, but it's so much more reassuring to me to know my dogs are on a monthly preventative and have like a year-round safety net over them. So I hope that there are some pharmaceutical companies out there looking at ways to help us as humans really get protected from these relatively scary tick diseases. Lyme disease in people is not particularly pretty. So I know I don't want to catch it, and I'm sure you don't either.
And the thing is, I've pulled two ticks off myself this week in my house within an hour of waking up because my dogs have been out. They're playing. I believe the ticks come in on them, and then I play with the dogs. So we had a big discussion over the weekend. These medicines, my dogs are on a preventive too. Does the tick repel away from them immediately, or does it have to bite them and then it repels away?
So it's a great question, because there are mainly two different types of tick medication that we use on dogs and cats, for that matter. We use those topical medications, the ones that you put between your shoulder blades. And a lot of those are spread through our sweat glands, and they create skin and fur that actually repels ticks. But now I know I use a chewable tick medication, and that it means that medication is fled through the bloodstream into the skin. So ticks will jump on the dog. They're not repelled from the dog. When they bite the dog, they get a dose of that poison and they die.
Oh, good.
So what's interesting is that bite doesn't transmit diseases because they die so quickly, but it does mean that they can carry those ticks inside to affect you. So sometimes if you're just doing the pills, if you know you've got a big tick problem, spraying your yard or even putting some of those topical sprays on your dog in high-risk areas can be a good idea.
Okay, great. Glad we got that answered. You know, spring vacation is coming up. Well, that's kind of past, but summer, everybody's thinking about where they're going to go this summer. Would you fly with your dogs? Would you put your dog in a carrier and put it in the belly of a plane?
You know, I have. You have to be very, very careful with this stuff. You know, there's always the option for small dogs. You have, and we were talking about this today, because they've loosened some of the regulations. If your dog can fit in one of the underseat carriers, which means your dog has to be pretty small, that's actually a pretty safe way to travel with your pet. You probably need to coordinate with your veterinarian, get a health certificate, make sure they don't have any other underlying health problems that would make flying dangerous, but it's relatively safe. For larger dogs, medium and larger sized dogs, it gets a lot more challenging. So you really have to work with an airline to design a travel plan that is safe for your dog to go in the cargo hold of a plane. And to be honest, the summer almost becomes a non-existent time for them to travel. In most places in the U.S., it's going to be way too hot. And a lot of airlines really restrict that now because they understand that it's dangerous. They can't handle it. So you may have to look for other ways to travel with your pet this summer.
Good, good, because I did that back in the 80s, and I don't think I'll ever do it again. And just a note, since we're talking about it, most airlines charge now. You can't just bring your dog and show up. It's anywhere from $95 to $150, and that's even if your dog is in a carrier underneath your seat. So don't be surprised when you go to the airport. Dr. Dana Varbal is with us. Somebody's got a question about Lysine and cats and a few other topics we're going to talk about. In fact, I got a question about that octopus that was all by itself and gave birth to 50 babies. You're going to have to explain that to us, Dr. Varbal.
I will do so.
Okay, that's next. First, Mary's got to check on weather and traffic. If you're keeping track of how many animal songs Brian can tap into during this segment, that's Atomic Dog. Dr. Dana Varbal joins us every other Friday, Chicago's exotic pet vet. And Dana, Carl is on line one. Carl, what question did you have for Dana? It's something about Lysine and a cat. Go ahead and ask her.
Yeah, hi, Lisa. Dr. Varbal, and I know the jury's out on whether it really does anything or not. However, if you're going to administer it to a feline, in your opinion, what would be the maximum amount that one could give to a kitty cat?
So, Carl, you really nailed this. We don't know if lysine does any good, but the idea behind lysine is an amino acid that can interfere with some viral infections. So slow them down, maybe make them better, or maybe just boost our immune system to help get rid of them. Most cats take between 50 and 100 milligrams of lysine a day. To be honest, I think one of the challenges with cats is getting meds in them, period. So we know lysine's very safe. You probably, the biggest risk with giving too much would be stomach upset. And honestly, the other issue is you don't need to try and get a ton into them, because I'd rather, you know, it lasted a longer period of time than a whole bunch at once. So shoot for that 50 to 100 milligram range, and you're going to be good to go.
And Dr. Varbal, another question along those lines came in, asking if you support using critical immune defense for herpes in cats, because that's what I use lysine for when I had a cat with herpes.
Yeah, critical immune defense is just a combination formula with multiple vitamins and minerals in it. You know, I don't know, again, that there's a lot of information out there that really tells you that it makes a huge difference. And again, probably the biggest risk, though, is just stomach upset. Mm. So it's absolutely okay to give it a try. If it seems like it's helping, great. If it's not, let's put our money into other things that we know are absolutely helping.
It must be cat day around here. Someone said, my cat will not poop in the box. Please help.
Oh, cats and litter boxers. Oh, the eternal question remains, yes. How do we get them to use them? How do we get them to use them consistently? All these things. So just a couple of big tips on litter box use. Some cats don't like litter boxes if the sides are too high, especially if they're getting older. It's hard to get in and out. So make sure the sides are low and that you've got more than one. Actually, the general rule is one litter box per cat per floor of your house to get, basically to encourage them to use them the best. And cats can also be really picky about litter. So if you've recently changed brands or types of litter, gone from like clumping to no clump or clumping to plastic, try going back to the litter that they were using originally. Some cats just like certain types of litter and will not use the other type.
Oh, yeah. We've got one of those. You change the litter, she's like, I'm not using the box.
Oh, yeah. Done. Not using it. Nope. It looks weird. You moved it. I even had a cat that wouldn't use it if it was in the wrong spot in the bathroom.
Yes,
it was always in the same bathroom, but if it wasn't in the right spot, he would just go where it was supposed to be and remind me in his not-so-polite way that I had misplaced the litter box.
Yeah, they train us very well. That's what they do.
They really do. That's cat's special gift, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. Dr. Dana Varbal is the chief veterinary officer for the North American Veterinary Community. She is also Chicago's exotic pet vet. Which I know you know all types of creatures, but the story that emerged this week about the guy who bought his kid an octopus And then the octopus managed to lay 50 eggs, but there was no one to fertilize the eggs. How does that happen? This is just like the stingray in the North Carolina aquarium that somehow became impregnated and there was no male around.
It is. Now, this is not a miracle birth story, so don't worry too much. But this is actually kind of a common survival strategy, especially seems to be more common with aquatic animals. So these fish, these stingrays, in this case an octopus, some female, basically, of these species will hold fertilized eggs in their bodies until they're in a place that is either safe, the right temperature, the right environment to lay their eggs, to give those eggs the best chance of survival. So if you've ever gotten a fish or a couple of fish, guppies are notorious for this, tetras, and you bought two fish and the next day you woke up and you had 45 fish, this is kind of that type of thing.
Okay.
The challenging thing is octopuses are a lot harder to take care of than fish. When you read this story, I think the best part about it was the dad said, don't do it.
Right, right. He's like, please don't ever do this.
Follow my lead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Terrible idea that we had, but now we're stuck with it. Sounds like they're trying to make the best of the situation.
And it's the season where we're all suffering, but somebody sent in a question and said, can you please ask Dr. Dana Varble if there's any at-home treatments for a 12-pound Bichon with allergies? I've tried shampoos. They are not helping. May I give her a small dose of Benadryl? She's 12 pounds. Is there something I can get from PetSmart or another store?
Yeah, very tough season for allergies. It sounds like the pollen is just going to be really, really bad this spring. So definitely try those medicated baths. Stay on top of them, which might mean doing them far more frequently than we're really interested in. You can try Benadryl. You do have to call your veterinarian for a dose. We're not allowed to dose for animals we haven't seen personally. But I will say this. It may be a time if they're becoming just really unmanageable. This is the ideal time to get on top of those because this summer, they're only going to get worse. So it might be time to call your vet and say, hey, you know what? Let's talk allergies more seriously.
I really appreciate you joining us. Have a beautiful weekend.
You too. Everyone enjoy the spring weather.
And
but without the pollen.
Yeah, without the pollen. In fact, we've got a list of things, signs of seasonal allergies beyond sneezing for humans. And I know it's as miserable as it is for pets, but tell everybody a website where they can find you.
Yeah, check us out at www.exoticpetvet.com. Thanks so much, guys.
That's Dr. Dana Varble. Coming up after 4 o'clock, of course, the sports click, the newsroom temperature check, which is always good for a laugh. And Karen Conti joins us to recap the Trump trial. Who knew that the biggest news story would happen outside of the courtroom today? That's all on the way after the news with Lauren Lapka from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.